We are thinking today about that strong and perfect, matchless name of Jesus today. Naming the baby is our theme today. Naming the baby. Names in the Bible, of course, do have significance. We name our children today, not thinking much about what that name means. Possibly when our wife is pregnant, we get one of those books that has thousands of names in it, and we look in there and we kind of see what those names mean, but that's about the only time we ever pay any attention at all as to what names mean. But in the Bible, they carry messages. We think, for instance, of the name Methuselah. In the Bible, the oldest person ever in the Bible, 969 years old. That's a lot of suits. Methuselah means when he dies, it will come. When he dies, it will come. It was a message of God about the flood. And the very year that Methuselah went to heaven, the flood of Noah came. It was a message from God about judgment on this earth. And God often carries messages through the names of people. In Acts 10:43, it says about the prophets, "To him give all the prophets witness, that through faith in his name, that they might have everlasting life." The name of Jesus was given through the prophets through various means and ways to carry that name of significance. The name Jesus means the Lord saves. In Matthew 1:21, says, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now, God tells Isaiah in various ways that his sons will carry a similar message of judgment and of salvation and of God's meaning and message to his people. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 3, God said, "Then the Lord said unto Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahaz the king, you and Shear-Jashub your son." That's what he named his son, Shear-Jashub. That means a remnant shall return. So he called his son that under the command of God to say that the people of God would have a return to the land. One chapter later, in chapter 8 and verse 3, God says, "And I went unto the prophetess," that's Isaiah talking, that is to his wife, "and she conceived and bore a son. Then said the Lord to me, Call his name Maher Shalal Hashbaz." Now, if you're looking for a name for your son or for your grandchild, here's one. Maher Shalal Hashbaz. That means speedy is the prey. God was going to judge Israel by the swift armies of Assyria. He wasn't going to wait around. He was going to bring that judgment. He was going to bring it swiftly. Then in chapter 7 and verse 14, we see the Lord Jesus himself brought through prophecy in Isaiah's time. God said, "The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel." And of course, we're so familiar with that at this time of the year. That's quoted in Matthew chapter 1 about the precious Lord Jesus. And now our passage for today is quoted in chapter 9 in verses 6 and 7. This theme arises again about the Lord Jesus. His various names are given here in chapter 9 that we often quote here at Christmas time. Chapter 9, verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David, and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Let's pray together. King Jesus, we thank you for your perfect word. We thank you for its power over this universe. We thank you for its power over our lives. We ask this day that you give us eyes and ears and hearts to understand it, but more than understand it, Lord Jesus, to submit to it. And Lord Jesus, by submitting, Lord Jesus, we might submit more substantially to you. Lord, we pray for salvation today. We pray for, Lord Jesus, every heart to submit to your will in our lives. Lord Jesus, not just this Christmas season, but Lord Jesus, in every area of our lives, for every moment of our lives. Lord Jesus, have your way with us. We pray it all in your precious and perfect name. Amen. God teaches us so many things throughout life and in his word. How sad to know the many things this world teaches us and not to know the ultimate things. How sad to know biology, the study of life, and not know Jesus Christ, the giver, the ultimate giver of life. How sad to know astronomy, to study the stars and not know Jesus Christ, the bright and the morning star. How sad to know geology, the study of rocks and ages, and not know Jesus Christ, the rock of ages, and be able to say, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. How sad to know botany, the study of flowers and plants, and not know Jesus Christ, Sharon's sweetest rose that can perfume any life. How sad to know history, the dates and events of all of human life, and miss the central and most significant event of all of human history, which is his story that we study not only in this place, but in God's holy word. Well, here in this passage, this day, we want to study Jesus Christ and his supernatural nature. Jesus Christ and his supernatural nature. I want you to look with me here in verse 6. We see it says, unto us a son is given. That is Jesus Christ and his deity. Unto us a son is given. It also says, unto us a child is born. That is his humanity. Jesus Christ, his two natures caught up in one person, his deity and his humanity. Unto us a son is given. That is the majesty of his perfect deity. Jesus, friend, did not begin in Bethlehem. When God sent his perfect Christmas gift to this earth, what was God's Christmas gift? It was the gift of himself. It was deity wrapped in his humanity. That was his first Christmas gift. His deity, God, a very God, a son wrapped in his humanity, a child that was born. John says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's not describing a start so much as he's describing a state. That is, he has always been God. He will always be God. A billion years from now, the Word will still be God. Amen? Jesus Christ is God. He was God. He will always be God. He's not only the Son of God, he is God the Son. Other verses affirm this same truth. Hebrews 1:8, but of the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. In John 8, in verse 58, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. He's affirming the eternal name of God for himself. Titus 2:13, looking for the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then Thomas, the great doubter, after the resurrection, he sees the resurrected Lord Jesus appearing before him. He bows down before the Lord Jesus and he worships him. And he says, my Lord and my God. That is Jesus Christ and his deity. Unto us a child is, a son is given, and unto us a child is born. That's his humanity. I want you to see the mystery of his humanity. A child is born. The Bible tells us that our birth is a birth into sin. Every single one of us is born with a fallen nature. You may remember that statement in Psalm 51, verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. What that means, friend, is that I was born with a fallen nature. The Bible calls that original sin. But when Jesus was born, Luke chapter 1, he's referred to by the angel as that holy thing, that sinless thing. That means he's different than you and me. In Hebrews 2:16, the Bible says that Jesus took on himself the nature, not of angels, but he took on himself the nature of the seed of Abraham. That is, he had a real human birth. But Hebrews 4:15 says, he was tempted in all ways like we are, yet without sin. He had a human birth, but it was a different birth. That's because it was a virgin birth. The great mystery in the manger is that God would be able to translate deity into humanity without either discarding the deity or distorting the humanity. Without either discarding the deity or distorting the humanity. And so that little baby laid in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, is the great God that created the universe. God became flesh. When Jesus was born, God was born. When Jesus was born, the infinite became an infant. When Jesus was born, the Creator became a creature. God in a cradle. What a wonder is that? John says in John chapter 1 and verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." You say, "Brother Todd, do you understand that?" Well, no, I don't. My little pea brain isn't big enough to understand it, but I believe it. Amen? There's lots of things that I believe that I don't understand. I believe it because the Bible teaches it. I don't have to understand everything that I believe. I just believe it because God tells the truth and God teaches the truth in His Word. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. We're talking about things today we don't understand, but we teach them because God's Word tells us the truth. Isaiah 7:14, therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and be with child. Somebody who's really smart today here says, "Well, Brother Todd, how can you say a virgin shall conceive? That's impossible." And I say, "Well, that's exactly right." And that's what Mary said. Mary said, remember, "How shall these things be?" She's saying, "I've not been with a man. It's impossible for me to conceive." And the angel answered, "Well, with God, all things are possible." Mary understood she'd not been with a man. She understood that it's impossible for her to give birth, and therefore the angel said, "You're right, but God's going to do things in a way that have never been done before." You say, "Well, I have problems with the virgin birth." Well, if you have problems with the virgin birth, friend, first, you have problems with the character of God, because God said it in His Word. God cannot lie, and the Word of God plainly teaches the virgin birth. Secondly, you have problems with the character of Mary, because no longer is she a virgin. Instead, she's an unchaste fornicator. Third, you have problems with the character of Jesus, because now He's just like other men. He's a descendant of Adam. He's sinful by nature and by choice, and He no longer qualifies as a sinless, spotless Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. But frankly, the biggest problem is with your own character, because 1 John 5:10 says, "He who does not believe God has made him to be a liar." And what you're doing is you're pointing your pointy finger in the face of God and saying, "God, you're a liar." So I have the biggest problem with you, friend, if you have a problem with the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. You see, my dear friend, if you have no virgin birth, you have no sinless Christ. If you have no sinless Christ, you have no atonement. If you have no atonement, you have no forgiveness. If you have no forgiveness, you have no hope of heaven. If you have no hope of heaven, you have no, friend, any chance of going to heaven, and you will spend eternity in a devil's hell. Thank God for the virgin birth. Supernatural nature is what Jesus has because of the virgin birth. But there's a second thing I want you to see. I want you to see not only Jesus Christ and His supernatural nature, I want you to see Jesus Christ and His sovereign nobility. Jesus Christ and His sovereign nobility. The text says, "And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end." Now that's good news. An everlasting relationship with Jesus and his government. See, Jesus came not only to redeem, he came to rule forever. He came the first time to die and suffer in our place, but he's coming the second time to rule and to reign forever. To see his coming the second time is just as certain as his coming was the first time. He came the first time in answer to prophecy, and he's coming the second time in answer to the book of Revelation and every prophecy that the prophets came to answer. The first time was in the fullness of time. The second time will be just as full. The first time he laid down his life as a suffering substitute. The second time he will come to reign as a mighty monarch. Now every once in a while at the invitation time, you'll hear a preacher say, "Will you make Jesus Christ Lord?" Well, I know what they mean, but friend, it's a little bit too late for that. See, he's already Lord. See, what you need to do is to submit to his lordship. What you need to do is to surrender to his lordship. What you need to do is recognize his lordship. And what you need to do is bow to his lordship. But friend, you can't make him Lord. He already is Lord. He's Lord of this universe. You see, the cradle, the cross, and the crown are inseparably, inextricably woven together. Now, a giddy crowd at Christmas time can dance around the manger and love a little baby. But my dear friend, we are not called just to be giddy around a little baby. We are called to bow down before him and to crown him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Because the government shall be upon his shoulder. You remember what Jesus taught, by the way, in Luke 15 about that shepherd that went out to find the lost sheep. And when he found it, what did he do? He took that sheep and he laid it upon his shoulders. And friend, that's exactly what he'll do for you and for me. If you'll come to the Lord Jesus, he will lay you on his shoulders, and he's not going to lose you either. You get on the shoulders of the Lord Jesus, and he will take you. If he can handle the government of the whole universe, he can handle all of your problems. He can handle all of your troubles. He can handle all of your pains. He can take you, and he can sustain you, because he can carry the weight of the world. He can carry you and me as well. Jesus Christ and his supernatural nature is taught in this passage. Jesus Christ and his sovereign nobility is taught in this passage. And friend, in Isaiah chapter 9, Jesus Christ and his saving name is taught as well. Matthew 1:21, Mary didn't give him his name. The angel did. At the command of the angel from God, "You shall call his name Jesus." Why? "For he will save his people from their sins." Friend, there's a gospel message right there, that Jesus Christ came to save you, and Jesus Christ came to save me from my sins. The very name Jesus means Yahweh saves. Yahweh is the most sacred name the Jews knew, revealed at the burning bush, and Jesus took that name for himself. The I Am God, the ever-existing God, the ever-existent one. That baby takes that name, the name Jesus. Oh, there's wonder in that name. He's called Wonderful. Everything about Jesus is wonderful. His birth is wonderful. His sinless life is wonderful. His miracles are wonderful. His saving death is wonderful. His humble burial is wonderful. His glorious resurrection is wonderful. His powerful ascension is wonderful. His prayerful intercession is wonderful. And his thundering return is wonderful. Everything about precious and perfect Lord Jesus is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Secondly, his name is not only wonderful, but there's also wisdom in that name. He's called not only Wonderful, he's called Counselor. It speaks of his communication, the gifted ability to communicate truth to others. See, Jesus Christ can get to people's problems and solve them. He can take their problems and he can communicate truth into those problems. By the way, did you hear about the psychotic owl? The psychotic owl, instead of hooting hoo-hoo everywhere, he went around hooting, "Why? Why?" I'll explain that later. Someone has said a psychologist is someone who helps you organize your hang-ups so you can be unhappy more efficiently. I don't know about that. But a counselor in the name of Jesus is someone who can truly help you, unlike this world's counselors. Colossians 2:3, in him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Jesus Christ is a counselor unlike anyone else. He's the wonderful counselor, the wonderful counselor in his lips. Think of all that Jesus said. The soldiers were commanded to arrest Jesus. They came upon his preaching, and what did they report back? They said, never has any man ever spoken like this. The Bible says he spoke not as the Pharisees and the scribes, but he spoke as one with authority. The wonderful counselor, not only in his lips, but he was a wonderful counselor in his life. The Bible says he went about doing good everywhere that Jesus went. He went on an ordinary fishing trip, and the ordinary became extraordinary. Peter let down that net, and hundreds of fish came up on that net. He went to an ordinary wedding. There were ordinary people there, ordinary pots there, ordinary water there. But when the maker of heaven and earth stood up, the water blushed in his presence, and out became wine. I've got good news. Jesus Christ specializes in taking the ordinary things of life and making them extraordinary. And you give him your ordinary life, and Jesus Christ will make extraordinary things of it. He'll do miraculous things with whatever you give unto him. Jesus Christ, there's wonder in his name. There's wisdom in his name. He's the wonderful counselor. In Jesus Christ, there is wealth in that name. He's called Mighty God. It could be translated the hero God. It refers to a warrior who fought and won a mighty battle. That points us to the cross. And oh friend, Jesus, our mighty warrior, our mighty God, did battle with our two worst enemies, death and hell, and sin and death. And when the dust settled on Calvary, the battle was over, and Jesus Christ, the mighty God, won the victory. Jesus Christ won all power over heaven and earth because he defeated sin and death. There is wealth in that name, our mighty God. There is worship in that name. He's called Everlasting Father. He's the one who could say, I and the Father are one, in John chapter 10 and verse 30. Philip, the last night of his life, said, Jesus, show us the Father and that'll be enough. And Jesus said, Philip, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Friend, if Jesus is not God, you have no business worshiping him. But we can worship him, we can adore him, we can love him, because he and the Father are one. We can love him and we can adore him forever and ever and worship him forever and ever in heaven because he and the Father are one in the same. Therefore, we do not break the commandment because there is worship and adoration in that name. He is the everlasting Father. And then there is welcome in that name. He is the Prince of Peace. He says in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you peace. Friend, do you need peace in your life? Someone says, well, there's no peace on this earth. Well, not yet, but there will be. There will be when Jesus comes again. I heard of a man who died, and his widow bought a beautiful tombstone with all of her money for him. She put these words on that tombstone, rest in peace. Then she went home, and a few days later, she read the will and found out that he didn't leave her anything. Well, she went back and had these words added to that tombstone, till I come. Well, friend, this world will know no peace until Jesus Christ comes again. And when he comes, there will be peace. But we see, we rejected the Prince of Peace, and that's the reason there will be no peace until Jesus comes again. And when he comes again in Jerusalem, there will be peace there when Jerusalem crowns her king, the Lord Jesus Christ. But dear friend, there can be personal peace, the peace with God, peace like a river, Isaiah called it. I've got that peace that Romans 5:1 says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Christmas is about. Christmas is about his supernatural nature. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Christmas is about his sovereign nobility. The government shall be upon his shoulder. And friend, Christmas is about his saving name. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Have you been saved from your sin? Have you been set free by Jesus Christ? Have you been given his peace? That's why Jesus came this time of the year, to give you that everlasting peace. He can save you. He can keep you. He can sustain you by his grace forever and forever. Let's bow our heads together. King Jesus, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your peace that you came to bring this time of the year. We thank you that you didn't come just to be a baby, but Lord Jesus, you grew up. And you lived a perfect life, Lord, a miracle-working life, and then you suffered a cruel death on a cross. And 3 days later, you rose from the dead to prove yourself victorious over sin and death and hell and the grave. And Lord Jesus, now you come alive in our hearts by your victorious power, Lord Jesus, to give us a new life. Lord Jesus, I pray for anyone who's here today who's never met you as Savior and King and Lord. May this be the day of salvation. May today be the day of new life for them. Lord, for others who are struggling in different areas of their life, Lord Jesus, it seems like they have too much to bear. Lord Jesus, may today be a new day, Lord, to surrender that area of their life over to you. And Lord Jesus, with tender cords of love, would you draw them to yourself, even during this time of invitation. Lord Jesus, may this altar be a day and a place, Lord Jesus, of sweet surrender unto you. For it's in your name that we pray. In your name, amen. Friend, whatever spiritual decision you have to make for Jesus Christ this day, while we stand together and while we sing, would you come?